someone listening to this message, it is the commencement of a journey to destiny. For someone else, it is a confirmation. For yet another, it is a continuation of a journey to destiny. As you listen to the senior pastor, Daystar Christian Center, Pastor Sam Adeyemi, the word will work wonders in you and for you.
We'll read 1 John 3 and verse 14. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 14. It's right there on the screen, 1 John 3:14. Let's go. We know that we have passed from death to life because we love the brethren. He who does not love his brother abides in death. We're discussing relationships and character. I hope this series is helping somebody. I'm to ask your neighbor, are you changing? Because this is not just a series for just taking notes. It's for practical application and the improvement in the quality of our lives. This morning I was hearing over and over from the Holy Spirit, make the tree good. Make the tree good. It's a statement Jesus made. He said, stop struggling with the fruit. Make the tree good. The fruit will be good. Success is guaranteed. The quality of our product or the product of our efforts, the quality of our success is guaranteed. If our character is okay, make the tree good. Let me ask your neighbor again, are you changing? Maybe we're asking the wrong person. Because somebody would say, oh sure, I'm not very humble. I don't think you are the best person to ask. We need to ask your husband, your wife, your children, your parents, your boss in the office, your colleagues. It's the people around really who can help us to know whether you are changing or not. The best place to find the definition of a true Christian is not in the church service. Oh Lord, people can worship, they can sing, they can pray. If you want to know who is a real Christian, visit them at home without an appointment. There shall be revelations. See, some people, the way they look in church, like if you put water in their mouth, they will not swallow it. When they get to me, pepe. So if you just visit unannounced, that's when you see the anger, you know, the loud voices, the temper, the impatience, the worry. So that is really where we get to know whether we are changing or not. Relationships and character. The practical test of character occurs in our relationships. The greatest measure of pressure is brought to bear on our character through our relationships. Dr. Mike Murdock said once, God gives you a family to prepare you for an enemy. Some of us, the deepest hurts that we have experienced in life, we have experienced through our families. And also the greatest joys, the greatest experiences of love that we have experienced through our families. We human beings are created for relationships. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18, God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him a helper. So really the introduction of relationships is the introduction of help to our lives. God did not design for us to have relationships so that those relationships could be liabilities on our lives. Relationships are meant to be assets. The most valuable beings God put on planet Earth are human beings. When a human being, therefore, is connected to another one, it should bring tremendous power into our lives. God's being is expressed fully within the context of a relationship. See? We have God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. We have the Trinity. Because the Bible says that God is love. And love cannot be its own object. The only way you can perceive the existence of love is through its expression to another person. If God is love, he would be permanently unfulfilled without someone to love. So, God the Father, therefore, does not exist alone. Even in the Godhead, it's a Trinity. And there you have the perfect expression of relationship. In John 17, if you read verses 20 to 30, Jesus was praying for his disciples before his departure from the earth. And he was saying, Lord, help them to be one. Just like you and I are one. I in you and you in me. Let them also be in me so that I can be in them. And if they are in me, then they will be in you. Jesus was setting his relationship with God the Father and the Holy Spirit as the perfect example, the ultimate standard for relationship. And he was praying that God would help us to be able to come to that level. So God is a God of relationships. And when he created the first man, he said, there's no way this guy is going to survive alone. I need to make him a helper that will be comparable to him. Somebody in his class. He will never realize his potential as long as he remains this way. Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 expressed it in a different way. Ecclesiastes chapter 4 verses 9 to 12. He said, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls, for he has no one to help him up. Verse 11. Again, if two lie down together, they will keep warm. But how can one be warm alone? Verse 12 says, though one may be overpowered by another, two can withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Listen to me. You don't have relationships, you are weak. You are powerless, and you may never realize the fullness of your potentials. Adam and Eve showed the example. God showed the example through them. As powerful as Adam was, there were things he would never have been able to do without Eve. He would not have been able to bear children. See, when we find ourselves in a relationship that is founded on love, there is impartation, there is healing, there is wholeness. There's a possibility for us to birth things that are good. That's why marriage is so powerful. A man and a woman, and together they can bring into existence in this world human beings that never existed before. That's how all interactions birth something. In Ephesians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul also did this description. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 15 and 16. He said, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. There is power. There is strength. There is health. There is help in healthy relationships. Two are better than one. If a marriage relationship is healthy, it's powerful. If it's not healthy, it's destructive. If a family relationship, being brothers, being sisters, being parents and children, if those relationships are healthy, they're powerful. They help us to unleash potential within us that would never have been realized if we did not have those relationships. However, when relationships falter or malfunction, there's pain, there's hurt, there are wounds. And when I say wounds, I need to let you know sometimes emotional wounds hurt even more than physical wounds. Rejection is painful. And rejection is not being loved. Scientists, medical scientists have proven that when a child is born, if the child is held, if a child is cuddled, if a child is hugged, that child will survive and is likely to have a stronger immune system. If a child is born, nobody touches that child. Nobody holds the child. Nobody cuddles the child. There's a high chance the child could die. We human beings are created for love because we're created in God's image and God is love. Many of us today are enduring pain caused by malfunctioning relationships. Rejection can be painful. And what now happens is there is an unconscious reaction from us when we have experienced rejection from parents, from authority figures, from friends, rejection from teachers in school, or sometimes outright abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse. When someone beats you, it's supposed to be discipline, but you realize this is more than a correction. Somebody is venting out anger. The punishment is disproportionate to the size of the offense. It's just violence, anger, uncontrolled temper. Okay? That, and then you have physical abuse. Okay? You have sexual abuse, incest, rape. These things cause hurts, wounds, injuries that we carry around. Our reaction is twofold. It's either we become aggressive or we become reclusive. Okay? We may live our lives on the attack because now we're suspicious of other human beings and we're not going to wait anymore and let somebody hurt us. We have to move first. Hurting people hurt other people. That's the way it goes now in life. So it's either we do that or we withdraw. We find it difficult to move close to human beings. We cannot build close or intimate relationships anymore. We cannot afford to be vulnerable to anybody. We are on guard. Our defenses are up in relationships because people are not to be trusted. Either way, we have become a source of pain to those people that we now relate with. There was a time in the United States, there was this gold rush in the western part of the United States, and people were moving in that direction. And there was this elderly man who was sitting in front of one of those towns that people were coming into to dig for gold. And this group of people were coming in. They saw the elderly man, greeted him, and wanted to know whether it was good to settle in that town or not. They said, "Sir, we just want to ask, Are the people of this town nice? Are they good people? Are they friendly? Are they courteous? Are they hospitable? The elderly man asked them, where you are coming from? The people there, were they nice? Were they hospitable? Were they kind? They said, ah, sir, don't even say, don't go to that area at all. They were mean people. Mean, wicked. The elderly man said, well, the people here are exactly the same. The people said, we had better move on. He said, okay, see you. Another group of people came by. Interestingly, they asked the elderly man the same question. Are the people of this town kind? Are they hospitable? Are they nice? The elderly man asked them, where you are coming from? Were they nice to you? Are the people there kind? And they said, oh, they were so lovely, so kind, so nice, so hospitable, good people. The elderly man said, the people here are exactly the same. He said, then we are going to settle here. The moral in the story is that a lot of time we think it's people that are bad. We think there's something wrong with people. We don't realize a whole lot of the people, it's us. How we have been treated in the past almost always influences how we relate with people in our present. We carry emotional baggages with us. See, the elderly man asked them about their perception of the people they had related with in the past because he knew that they were going to project exactly that on their new neighbors. Many people have challenges in marriage and they don't realize it because even though they may have been in love with their husband or their wife while they were courting, once they begin to go through the practical experiences of life, somebody gets pregnant, somebody gets a job, somebody loses a job, a baby arrives, baby has to go to school, they need to move accommodation. Once those practical scenarios begin to come in, people don't know that new experiences threaten our security. And that what we tend to do is to then lapse into our default programming, which comes from our past experiences. We rely on that to deal with the current situation. And many people don't know, when they quarrel with their husbands, when they quarrel with their wives, they do not realize they are fighting their parents. Many people don't know. It's unconscious. It doesn't take long before somebody concludes, nonsense, all men are the same. No wonder my mom used to complain about my dad. All women are the same. No wonder my dad used to beat my mom. Sharp mouth. That's how she used to speak. You know what, eh? I'm not going to take nothing. If you say, ha, I will kill you. You know the interesting thing? Very interesting thing is that these very same attitudes these people are likely to have detested in their parents while they were children. But it doesn't matter whether they detested them or not, the thing was programmed in. So we usually have these emotional baggages that we carry into our relationships. But when, and you see, it's not really our fault. It's just the sin nature. Once it was introduced into our lives as human beings, that was it. The first effect of sin showed up in the first family. The family became dysfunctional. The first case of murder happened within the context of a family. Some of us have pain. We have hurts. And it came from the family. Okay? Now, when we accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and the power of the Spirit of God comes into our hearts, and the love of God fills our hearts, something happens. The Spirit of God destroys the seeds of hurt and pain and rejection that were sown into our hearts before. We experience healing.
He who loves his brother has eternal life, he said. The proof that the quality of life that flows in God now flows in us is the fact that we have the capacity to love people who hurt us before. The scars may still be there, but the pain is gone. Because we have been healed spiritually and emotionally. Romans chapter 5 verse 5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Because we realize that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. When we understand the depth of God's love, we see how much pain we caused God as sinners. And the fact that he still loved us, sent his son to die for us. And we realize many of the people that we have refused to forgive have not done to us what we did to God. We realize that Jesus, hanging on the cross, loved the people who killed him and was even praying for them. Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they are doing. And we think about ourselves and realize the people we are angry with have not yet nailed us to the cross. We get the capacity to forgive people. We get the capacity to love people. In fact, people who hurt us before in the past. Fantastic. So what now comes out of us is forgiveness. We may not be able to wipe the memory off, but the memory cannot hurt us anymore the way it used to hurt us. Those reactions, aggressive reactions, are not there anymore. I look at us in this nation. I see so much aggressiveness. We're so harsh. So harsh on one another. So impatient with one another. So unkind. Places where we should help. Offer assistance. Oh God. How come it's when somebody is pleading for a car space in traffic? Somebody's trying to join traffic. And is pleading. That's when we step on the accelerator. Especially in this city. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Nonsense. He wants to steal my chance. But he was pleading. That still happened to me this past week. He's pleading. Okay? I realize it's the environment. It programs us to be aggressive. Especially if you grow up in Lagos. You see, in Lagos, it is smartness. You need to be sharp. Or else, they will chance you. Somebody will steal your opportunity. Steal your chance. Eh? If you are too slow in this city, you are a mumu. Mugu. You are a shume. Ode. Polonojo. Legoshi. As a Legoshian, you have to be sharp and smart. So it's being smart not to give somebody a task space. Fantastic. We're being on time. It's lack of character. The kind of character that Christ has. There are supposed to be two lanes on the road. So you create your own third one because you think you are more in a hurry than everybody else, and then you create a traffic jam. You may arrive ahead of me, but you are not more successful. Your character is wrong. We need to redefine success. You really can never be a successful person if you don't treat other people well. Anybody who fails in relationships has failed. However, most of the time it's an unconscious thing. It's what people have done to us. And we did not have the love of God, so we did not have the appropriate response. You know what Jesus said? Bless those who curse you. That's what he said. If you have the life of God in you, the love of God in you, it doesn't matter if somebody says, oh, le, were, be, ko, lono, jo, nonsense. So you too, you now say, God punish you. So out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So that's what's inside you. That's not life. That's death. That's death that we're spreading around. He said, bless those who curse you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what he said. Then you will be children of your father. So we need to get rid of all those negative programming. A young lady told me, Christian lady, church member, many years ago, told me how a Mulwe driver, a bus driver, almost hit her at a bus park. Was pulling out his bus and almost hit her. When she looked and jumped, she said, very frail looking lady, if you saw her. She jumped up and slapped the driver. I am born again, spirit filled. So in this city, that's how we behave, isn't it? Because you don't want somebody to think you're a fool. Yes. So let's put born again aside. I will show you. So people become temporarily unborn again. Then they deal with the person. Then they become born again, again. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. The character of a Christian. The behavior, lifestyle of a believer. Okay? Romans chapter 12. I pick it from verse 9. It says, let love be without hypocrisy. That's the starting point. If you have the love of God, the character of Christ in you, you must not deceive people. Say the truth. Have integrity. As a society, collectively, we must come to the point where we agree to shame people who lie. Telling you, it doesn't matter how high a person has risen. If the person lies, the person is a big failure. Our marriages cannot be sustained if we don't say the truth. We've got to be honest and react seriously to people who lie. We will never prosper as a nation until we make truth the foundation of the structure of our society. Listen, the level of honesty in a nation affects its economy. You know why? Where there is honesty and honesty is celebrated, there will be trust. If there is trust, there will be prosperity. Trust in economic terms is called social capital. Social capital. Let me give you an example. You are a wholesaler. You're selling cement. I want to take cement from you to sell. I don't have money. But I have integrity. I come to you and tell you, please give me 500 bags of cement. I'll pay you back your money next Friday. If I have never lied to you before, if you trust me that I am saying the truth, you'll give me the cement. Am I right? I have started a business without a kobo, physically. The capital that I used to start that business is integrity, trust, social capital. Listen. What you call money is really not money. It's a promissory note. That's why instead of money, you can write a check. It's a promissory note. Or a bank draft. Or you call it manager's check. It's a promissory note. I have this money somewhere in the bank. If you present it to the bank, you get the value that is on it. Give me the cement. In some parts of the world that I have visited, you can use a check to buy something from a shop and carry the goods and walk away. Some Nigerians have never had that before. It used to be the reality in this country before. Ask your parents. Now, you know a bank draft, the manager's check. It's supposed to be more powerful than the open check. It means that the money has been taken out of your account. It's now in an escrow account. When it is presented, it's as good as cash. In Nigeria now, if you present a bank draft, you won't get the goods yet. It must be paid into the account. It must clear into the account. They must call the bank manager to be sure that it has cleared into the account before you get your goods. It's slowing down the economy because there's something called the velocity of money. It's not paying us. Let's all agree, beginning from home. When your child tells a lie, show the child that the consequences of telling a lie will be worse than saying the truth. But you have the chance of enjoying mercy if you say the truth. When you lie, no mercy. It's a big crime. The message has to sink in. Amen. I know we live in a society where when you say the truth, the system punishes you sometimes. It is the person who lies, who goes through easily. But I'll say this. There's no amount of fruit that a tree brings forth. If it is corrupt, it is corrupt. It's a bad tree. Our corruption is not a function of money in this country. It's a function of bad character. But you and I must agree there's a new standard. Christians should stop lying to Christians. If you loan money from a church member, stop dodging the person. Face up to it. If you've not been able to make the money back, go back and tell the person something went wrong and promise the next day that you are going to pay. If you lack the character to pay back money that you borrowed, stop borrowing. I know that sounds a little hard, but that's the truth, isn't it? Because there are many people in church who are hurt and who have vowed not to do business with other Christians. Because they met Christians who don't understand what the meaning of Christianity is. That you have the character of Christ. The old you that used to lie and deceive people is dead. There is a new you. Christ in you is the hope of glory. You are crucified with Christ, nevertheless you live. It's no longer you, it is Christ that is living in you now. That Christ does not tell lies. Does not deceive people. And doesn't owe people money and dodge them and eventually, you know, sit at the back of the church, run away before they share the grace, and then eventually run away from the church and go to another church. Thank you, my sister. I mean to tell your neighbor, you cannot love and fail. I pray in the name of Jesus, the Son of the living God, every one of us receives grace. We will fulfill destiny. The days of corruption are over. God will use you to set a new standard. And He will prosper you. As you do His word, according to what He said in the Bible, He will set you high. Above all the nations of the earth. Now that God is shaking world economy, He will move wealth into your direction. Because it's a season for transfer of wealth. I pray in the name of Jesus for the person who has made money the wrong way, that God will give you the grace to stop it. And He will give you the power to make money legitimately. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I pray by the Spirit of the living God, every form of pain, hurt that has been caused us through relationships before, that my God will take that pain away today. He will pour love into your heart. Pour oil into your soul. Take the pain away. The memory may remain, but it will never hurt you any longer. He will give you capacity to love the people who hurt you before. He will give you grace to give to the people who refused to give you even though they had it. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Like Joseph in the Bible, He will use you to preserve the lives of the people who wanted to kill you. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.
We believe that the wonders of the Word of God have begun. For additional information, call 01793-7415 or 01815-1435 or email us at contactus@daystarng.org.
Join us for any of our four services at 7 a.m., 8:30 a.m., 10 a.m., and 11:30 a.m. at Plot A3C, Ikosi Road, Oregon, Lagos, Nigeria. You could also visit our website at www.daystarng.org.
Or watch the church service at www.daystarng.tv. You are destined to succeed. You will succeed.